Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. We're at LATalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and I'm at SheenaMetal.com and on social media everywhere at Sheena Metal. And also, the reason that we're here, of course, is that on November 9th of 2016, I founded a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. It's called I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. And we're at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. Soon we'll be at our new nonprofit site, which is raisingthevibration.org. You can go there now and see the site being built. And also we have a wonderful online community that is at the Vibration Nation. We have over 12,000 people there hanging out, which is wonderful. So we started the movement in November of 2016. In August of 2017, I sort of got the guidance from the universe to make it a nonprofit. And as I was learning about how to build a nonprofit, my wonderful friend Brian Carroll, who is the president of American Trinity University that actually ordained me as a minister, I started learning about the things you had to have for a nonprofit. So I put together a little board of directors, and then I put together what I like to call a vibrational council, which is all the wonderful souls and energy that run the movement, and then also a celebrity advisory board. So when I was putting together my vibrational council, I thought, how am I going to do this? And I thought, I know, I'm just going to pick all my best friends and see if they say yes. And luckily for me, they almost all did. And one of them is here right now. He is actually our musical director for the movement. So he's writing some music for our website. He and I are working on an inspirational / meditational CD that's going to just be called Vibration. And or Raising the Vibration. I'm not quite sure. I have it written down somewhere, and here I am on the air and can't remember. The wonderful Jeff Floro is here. It's wonderful to have you, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's finally a chance to actually be here.
I know.
I'm usually opposite you. I'm usually doing another show.
Jeff has a show called All About Guitar here that's wonderful. He hosts and produces, and he produces Dancing with Ghosts for my friend Rebecca Fearing, and I kind of co-host that every week with Jeff, the three of us.
Yes.
Jeff, Rebecca, and me are our team heaven, as she says. So I see you all the time.
Yes, and to all the people out there, when you hear odd noises during Raising the Vibration... That's me.
That's the guitar show.
That's the guitar show.
It's the soundtrack of our lives, but I kind of love that. So it's interesting, right, because I'm also another thing that Jeff has done with the movement that's wonderful is that Jeff is a very devout Catholic, and I, although Irish, was not raised Catholic. Please no one go to my house and shoot me in the knees. So I'm learning a lot about Catholicism from Jeff, and he's kind of helped guide me, and I've fallen in love with all these saints that I really feel now are kind of in their work on the earth inspires me, because I think that saints, like all of us, Jeff, right, were people that were understood the idea of being in service 24/7.
Yeah, well, the basic definition of a saint is somebody that's recognized by the church, the Catholic Church, that made it to heaven. But that doesn't mean that there are other people that didn't make it to heaven. So I know my grandmother and my mom are there. But, you know, it's just an official thing. But there's certain – it's actually quite fascinating what qualifies a person to become a sainthood.
Yeah.
To become a saint or achieve sainthood. And that beatification process is really interesting because part of it is, for example, they have to do two miracles – either before or before they die or after they die. So there's usually at the sound of the beep.
I know.
We're
please
at the
leave
top
your
of the
name,
hour.
Number, and your message at the sound of the tone.
But anyway, they have to. There's certain criteria. They do an extensive investigation into their lives, and but that's one of the main things. So there's actually books on them, and it's documented. I tried to. Once I went to the Vatican, I got to go to the Vatican Library, and I was trying to find a book on that you could actually see what qualified them. because it's kind of interesting to see some of the miracles that were done.
Well, as I was reading about them, and as you were throwing different people out at me, I was reading, and then I have like a list, because I'm a list maker, people. I have a list just called My Saints, and it's all the saints that as you shared their stories with me or I read up on them, their stories resonated with me. And then I started asking all my Catholic friends, what saints do you like? And people were emailing me, and I'm checking them out. So then I collect holy cards, and I have one for each saint that resonates with me. A lot of them Jeff gave me, which is wonderful. But the more I read about them, and the more I thought about what I was trying to do with the movement, and the more I thought about other people that live in the world of nonprofit and give back and service, I started to see sort of the similarities that really what commonly connects every one of those saints is that they were all people that understood that we're here to serve. Mm-hmm. We're here to serve the earth, and we're here to serve the heavens. Mm-hmm. And that it's that the duality of doing the universe's work here, but doing something good for the world, and understanding that the needs of the many outweigh your individual needs.
Well, a friend of mine that was he passed away, but he was a priest. He used to talk about the fact that Christ was the suffering servant, and he put it that way because he died for our sins.
Sure.
But at the same time, his whole thing was serving. So, like, he went and washed everybody's feet, and did stuff like that. So that's a very important tenet of Christianity, and in general, I mean, if you look at we've talked about this before, about all religions, the golden rule is in every religion.
Yes.
Do unto others as you would be, that would be done unto you.
Yes.
And so if you are if you serve or help people, it comes, it goes back and forth. And it's a natural law. You can see it in our environment. When you treat our environment bad, it comes back at us.
Yep.
And, in other ways too. And you see it in nature, the way animals react and stuff like that. So it's a very fundamental and very important rule that we tend to ignore a lot of times. But that whole thing of serving is very vital to just not just as Christians, but in terms of just as humanity and in general in life.
Well, I think when you're a person who understands give back, it's hard for you to understand what somebody would do with a whole 70, 80, 90, 100 years of their life and not be serving. I don't even understand what I would do if I wasn't giving back. Like, I don't know. What do people do with their lives? Like, I don't even understand.
Well, some people, I think it has to do with, there are people that have dependency. They crave certain things. So some people crave money and power and stuff like that, and they get absorbed with that, and I think they tend not to do that. They tend not to help, but they're looking at it in a different perspective. You're coming from a whole other different place, but also too, I think part of that is your spirituality. As you open up your heart and you open up your soul to life in general and just the beauty of life,
it's true.
That whole part of, what is like a fundamental premise of Christianity, but any religion, is that the beauty of what God's created and stuff. That's the important part. You start realizing that and you feel that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the more you become in the world of give back, the more you serve, the more you want to serve. Sort of like the more spiritual you are, the more spiritual you become. Like, I'm constantly growing and changing and finding out things about me that I didn't know, and learning about new spiritual things that matter to me, and finding more and more ways to get involved. And, I think that's sort of once you get on that path. And it's interesting because when you're on that path, oftentimes that also fixes you. Your isms and your addictions and your insecurities and anxieties and depressions and all of those things start to get fixed as you make yourself a stronger, more better, more spiritual person. A lot of that goes away. Now, for folks who are listening that are agnostic or atheist, certainly I love you all, and this applies to you too, because I think that it's the same belief system. It's just that if you're an atheist, you just believe in serving what's here. But it's still the idea that once you get on the path of becoming someone who serves, it feels so good to serve that then you want to keep serving. And then, like you said, Jeff, a lot of people are consumed with addictions and money dependencies, and but you're so busy serving and giving back, you don't have time for those other things, and they start to heal themselves.
Right, and the other thing is it, like you were saying to your friends, again, I'm coming from a Christian viewpoint, but that doesn't mean that's the only viewpoint. But that golden rule and the idea of giving unconditionally, and I want to point out a thing that about you.
Okay.
When I first met you, that was very important, because it was a very important first impression for me, because when I first started here at LA Talk Radio 9 years ago,
wow,
I met, the first person I met was Sheena, because Sheena was on before us, and we were doing another show, not, you know, we had Rebecca's show, but just before that I was doing another show called Night Vision Radio, and the first time we came down there, Sheena had just finished her show, and with open arms just welcomed us, and was so nice. And what was important about it, besides her just being nice and making me and at the time my co-host Renee Barnett feel really warm, was the fact that she just was, it was unconditional. She was, you know, a lot of people, and you have to, and this should be brought out too about giving. When you give, there shouldn't be an ulterior motive. And this
sure.
is very,
of course.
This is in scripture too. It's very important that you don't, like, you know, the Pharisees would sit there, okay, I'm going to put some money into the pot. Look at me. Look at this. I'm here today to pray for all the people that are sinning and all that, you know. That's not what it's about. It's about unconditional love. You do something for somebody, there's no strings attached. It's just done. And when Sheena welcomed us, there were no strings attached. She just welcomed us out of the kindness and friendliness of her heart. That kind of unconditional love is very powerful. And when you do something for somebody for no apparent reason and for no ulterior motive, it's a quite strong feeling. And the people out there, people that are that are maybe listening are depressed right now, or you know, that are feeling very down, what I find that helps me bring my spirits back up is to go do something for somebody else. It's a positive thing, and it'll bring you, it'll, you know, it gives you worth.
I agree.
Because by helping somebody, you did something that's important, that gives value, that makes you important. You know, and it can be something as simple as just saying hi to somebody, being nice to somebody on the street. You might not know them. They might smile back at you, but they might have been contemplating killing themselves. And just being kind to them can totally change their lives. And it's like, it's powerful stuff. And but the key thing is that unconditional. And Christ loved us unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. No matter what we do, whatever we, you know. You know, it's okay. He'll forgive us. You know, no sin is greater than God's forgiveness, so to speak. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out, because that, when I first met you, you were that, you gave unconditionally. You were just really nice, and that made an impression. And even after 9 years, we've become friends. Look where we are now. We're
right,
working
now
together.
We're family. Yeah.
And
we've traveled together. We've done all kinds of fun stuff.
Just because your spirit was a friendly, you were open and just coming from a loving place.
Well, something my mom taught me, and I wish you had known her, and of course she knew about you, but she had become very reclusive by the time I met you, was that she was always the person that said, treat everybody the same. When you meet someone, treat them the same. Every mm-hmm. soul is the same, treat everyone the same. So when I was 18 and my first friend came out of the closet, and in Orange County, that was such a scandal for her to have a gay friend. And my mom said, well, invite him over and tell him to sit down with me and we'll chat about it. And, you know, and he told her all the things he felt and all the people in his life that were not okay with it. And she was just like, look, you are who you are and I love you for who you are. And then when he had trouble and needed to leave home for a little while, he lived with us. And then when I was, I don't know, in my late 20s, and I got a letter one day from one of my tough rock and roll friends that he was transitioning into becoming a woman. Mm-hmm. And I called my mom and I said, what do I do? I don't even know if this is real or if there's going to be like a ha-ha at the end of it. And she said, treat it like it's real. Send her an email. Use her new name and welcome her and tell her you love her. And I did. And we're still friends because of that. So that was my mom's thing. My mom had a very My mom liked to call herself a Teachings of Christ Christian. Like, she was much more into Christ than she was into the religion itself. Mm-hmm. And she tried to thought that we should live sort of the way that Jesus did. And that meant accepting people, loving people, you know, being on a path of love and helping people when they needed help, and actually doing the work that Christ did here, which I wish that more people who called themselves Christians understood that it's not about being part of something or serving a bigger doctrine. It's about living as Christ lived, because that's what I think Christ wanted for all of us.
He actually said that.
Yeah.
So the way he wanted people to evangelize was by example.
Right.
And that's a very strong thing. It's very powerful, and it does work. It's not just something to say. I mean, I've seen it in my own life. And I'll give you an example. When I was working at Lorimar, and this was in the 80s, and I just started at this facility. There was about 200 people there. So I had to figure out what, you know, I just came in. I knew nobody there. So every day I would make the rounds. My job allowed me to move around the facility. So I would say hi to people all the time. And this is a true story. So anyway, I walked over to where the IT people are, the computer people, and there was this girl there. And I said, "Hi, how you doing? I'm Jeff," and I introduced myself, and she just ignored me and kind of frowned like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, just very upset. So no big deal. So I went around, you know, a few days later, you know, and once in a while, every time I would always go by and say hi to everybody there. There were other people there that I knew or I met. So I was saying hi, you know, and eventually I said, "Hey, how's everything going?" And she went, "Terrible." And I said, "Well, I'm really sorry." So I just kept going every day or every other day whenever I saw her, I said hi. So eventually she warmed up, and she actually, "I'm doing good today. I really am." And that was it. Now, I really didn't hang around her a lot, but I would always say hi to her when I saw her walking through the hall and whatever. Now, we went through layoffs, and she left. And about 5 years later, I'm up in Westwood, and I hear my name. We're waiting in line for a movie, and I hear my name called. And I'm with one of my friends, and this girl comes up to me, runs up to me, hugs me. And she's like, "It's so good to see you. I want you to meet my fiancé." Brings her fiancé over. "This is the guy I was telling you about." And I'm like, just like, what? You know, because I mean, we were friends and stuff, but I thought, you know, I never, you know. And she said, you know, "It's so great to see you," blah, 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 blah. And that was just from just saying hi in every day and being persistent.
Yep.
And living that, because I said hi to everybody. It wasn't just that I was singling somebody out. It wasn't for an ulterior motive. It was just being nice. But that example, when I met her with her fiance, totally different person, totally loving, vibrant, vivacious, just really bubbly. When I saw her at work, she was very somber, very, you know, tense, you know. It was like a total different person, and just being nice. I mean, I never expected her to be that way, but just being kind.
Yeah.
There was no reason. I wasn't doing it. I was trying to meet everybody. If there was an ulterior motive, that was it, just so I knew everybody. But other than that, that was it.
No. What's the quote? Because you're much better with the Bible than I am. What's the quote that Jesus says about, like, to know God is to know love? Someone asks him something about knowing God, and he says something like,
John said, I think it's John that said God is love. John, he said that God was love. And people that I've met outside of the church that have died and come back, that's the most important thing, is love. So when people judge, I'm going to say something that's very un-Catholic about people that have same-sex marriages or whatever. They love each other. If they're in a loving relationship, and any relationship, any marriage, whether it's heterosexual or same-sex, if they're in love and they really truly love themselves, isn't that godlike? Isn't that what God wants you to do? If you're loving, as opposed to somebody that's in a relationship and like divorce where they hate.
Right.
Because the near-death experiencers told me that when you hate or you're in fear, you push God away. God's still there. He's always there for you, but you push him away because you're emanating this like negative energy,
right?
And you push away the positive energy, and which
yeah,
is
I found
love.
It. It's here. It's 1 John 4:8.
John,
and it's John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And I think that basically, to me, sums it all up. That God, the universe, higher power, powers that be, whatever you want to call it, it's all about love. It all starts and ends with love.
Yeah.
If you allow it to. If you're stopping yourself from loving another or the universe or the creatures of the earth or the earth itself, that's you stopping that. That's not because the universe isn't sending you that love.
Right. You have a choice. You have a choice to love or to fear. And
yeah.
Fear breeds anger and all of the negative stuff.
Right.
So if you're in fear or you're in love, it's your choice. And that's the whole key. That, from what people have said from on the other side, and I've seen it with what Rebecca says from when she hears people on the other side, and like people that have, like I said, near-death experiences, the most important thing is loving and coming from a loving place, and what that's doing. That's the key. And that's what life's about, is loving. That's what we're here for, to learn. There's lessons we're here to learn and to love.
You know what's interesting and kind of sad? When you touch base with people that have passed, that live in the universe, or things that live in the beyond that have never been here, angelic energies and the energy of the universe itself and whatnot, it always feels so much more to me like the energy that my cat has or the energy that dogs have when I play with them than the energy that people have. Like somehow, my mom used to always say that people were just smart enough to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe we're just advanced enough that we try to outthink that basic instinct, which is that complete tie and connection to the universe, so that love energy is always flowing out of the universe and into us and out of us and into the universe and back and back and back and back. We block that with our own less feeling, too much thinking, and our own deciding that we're so advanced, we don't need that. We can do it on our own because we're like, put on our big girl and boy pants now. And it's a shame because people block out a lot of the beauty of what the universe is trying to give to us every day. And I'm the complete opposite. I don't want to figure it all out on my own. I am perfectly happy to let the universe bestow upon me what it wants to, because I got enough responsibility here on the earth. I don't need that too.
Well, you see it in children. And what people don't realize in general, not just us as individuals, but what we see in different countries and around the world, and this has been stressed before, the most important thing is life. Life is the most valuable and should be treasured thing. The fact that you are here and living is a gift, and to live, yes, we have lessons. It's not easy. It's hard, but it's a blessing in one way. And you see, and the power that you have, that power of love, so to speak,
yep,
to quote a song, the power of love is very strong. So, like, we see it, it's strong in pets, my girls, my little Poms. They're just unconditionally, they just come up and they just hug you, or I mean, they'll come and lick my face or whatever it is. But that, and that's powerful. But when human beings do it, it's even more powerful. In some ways, because, and when groups of people do it, the power of love is very strong, and it's very amazing. I don't know how to describe it. So you're right. We do, and unfortunately, and I think one of the things that's important that you're doing with the movement is because our culture now is fear-based. You know, people look at how many kids are stolen off the streets, shootings, you know, just the violence that you see, and the total disregard for life, where human beings are considered disposable, you know, in the workforce, in military campaigns. I'm not just talking about this globally. You know, all right, we'll send 10,000 troops there and they die. That's 10,000 lives. And the most valuable thing is life itself and human being, human life, any life, you know, animal life, plant life, the whole thing. It's all life. We're all connected. And that's, you know, people miss that. They miss that point. And it's quite powerful. Human beings are quite powerful in their capability to love. And I think we miss the point. And you see it in television. And when you're kind to somebody, the culture is, well, what's in it for me, or why are you doing that?
Yes.
And for somebody to question that rather than just accept it, that's like what your mom's saying, we're overthinking it.
Yeah.
And today's society, that's what it's, that's all give and take. You don't do anything unless you get something back for it. You know, like then it's a waste of time. You know, it's like, well, yeah, I'm not, it's what's in it for me mentality. And that's really not what life's about.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's not what life's about. No, and life is so much easier when you let all that go and realize what life is really about.
Correct.
But for some people, it seems like it's so difficult. And I think all of us, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I had a huge spiritual and emotional revelation when I got here to LA Talk Radio. And I've been here, I think, what, 7 months before the show you used to do, Night Vision and Dancing with Ghosts, Rebecca's show, with you. So I just turned nine in January. You guys turned nine in the fall, right? Your shows. So I had already had that revelation before I met you. And I mean, I've always been a spiritual person, and my whole life I would have told you I was an extremely spiritual person, but because of events leading up to and right after me beginning here at LA Talk Radio, and really because of just the energy of this place itself and how it allowed me to be creatively free, I let a lot of things go. And for me, letting go of a lot of things of the three-dimensional world really enabled me to free up space to let a lot of the more of the spiritual world come in. And also letting go of a lot of people that didn't really belong in my life made space for new people like you and Rebecca that totally belonged in my life. So it's when I was younger, I think I held on to more stuff because I was trying to control more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really learning that you don't need to control it. It's not for you to control. And, you know, everything in your life doesn't have to be controlled. Because when you're always trying to control everything, like when we start an interview, like now, I plan no questions. I have no paperwork. I'm just letting this go where our hearts and souls take this and our minds. Because if I planned out what this interview was going to be, Jeff, some of the best stuff that we should be talking about, we wouldn't, because I didn't think about it beforehand. And I think it's the same thing with your life. If you're trying to tightly control everything in your life, you're missing all the great stuff that's going to happen to you in your life because you're too busy deciding what your life is going to be, and you're missing all the good stuff. And the universe, God, the powers that be, whatever you want to call our creator and higher power, I think is sort of chuckling to his, her, them self, saying, we're trying to give you some cool stuff, but the door's always locked because you've decided what your life is going to be. And when I stopped deciding what my life was going to be, and just as I like to say, got in the canoe, pulled the oars into the canoe, went with the current, and let the universe tell me what it was going to be, all this cool stuff, even a bunch of stuff that I wanted for a long time that I never could make happen in my life, happened because I just started, as my mom used to always say, just go with the flow, just go with the flow, just go with the flow. And I never understood really what that meant until almost 10 years ago when I got it. And it completely changed my world.
Well, the expression, stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
And the one that the near-death experiencers told me, live in the now. That's what that's
yes.
about, living in the now. Now, I'm going to point out two things that
Please.
Maybe you're not aware of.
Okay.
Okay, now she was talking about being nice and coming in on the station and being a positive person, which she was.
Yeah.
What I'm pointing out to you, what you probably don't realize, is the impact that you made on the other people here. And I just want to mention, like, we're here on Monday nights, and I do the guitar show. And before me is Alona. She does her show, Accent On. And we're just one big family.
Yeah, it's nice.
We all hug each other. We all say hi to each other. We're always friendly. The vibe here is amazing. And even on Wednesdays, we do the same thing. I mean, we're here with Rebecca.
Yep.
And all the people that are here during the night that weren't with us were all buddies.
James Bartolet, who gave me my very first radio show.
Right. And Inside the Industry.
Right. Before he was in the industry. When he was in the entertainment industry. Before he was in the adult industry.
But whether it's like our engineer Ronan.
Yeah. Ronan Rosner's wonderful.
The owner Sam Hassan. And Dina
Bergovich.
They're
all beautiful.
And saying hi.
Uh-huh.
And that part of that...
They really set that tone for us when we got here. That tone of kindness.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it, too, is what you did and everybody. Everybody contributed. That positiveness, it changed. It changed over the years. It was different before. It's much more warm. But we know each other. I mean, everybody knows each other. But the vibe is... It is... If you look at when we were at the old place... And you look at now, when we used to be in another building, the radio station, where we are now.
And then even another one before that.
Yeah, it's different. And a lot of that is like yourself. You did that. You were a big part of that just because you were that way.
Well, I'm a tribe builder, and I'm a good vibes builder. And I believe wherever you are, you should do that. And I'm also an extremely tribal person, so... When I start working someplace or I get involved in a project, like you were talking about with that girl at your work, I immediately want to get to know everybody involved. I want to get everybody's phone numbers, everybody's email addresses. I want to find out things about everybody. You know, when I meet new people, I'm always asking them about themselves. Because I immediately start building tribe. That's what I do. Now, in the industry, in all the years I've been in the industry my whole life, I have met many, many people who were resentful of the fact that I do that I try to build tribe. Because they don't want tribe. They want everyone to be not that friendly with each other. I don't know why. I still can't figure out why. I guess it's a divide and conquer thing. When I came here to LA Talk Radio, the three things that were absolute godsends for me and why their energy and my energy fit so well. The first is it's extremely tribal. The ideology is to build tribe. And I think it's because the folks that own and run our station are all from Israel. And... it's a very tribal place, and I think Jewish folks are very tribal. I'm an Irish folk, and I think Jewish folks and Irish folks are a lot alike in the sense that we've both been kind of oppressed, kind of gypsies, and we've learned to stick to tribe to get us through the bad times. The second thing is, other places I was criticized for how hard I work, for how many shows I do, and for how many numbers I want to get, and for how many things I want to do to expand and to get press. Here, that was encouraged. Mm-hmm. And the third thing really was that other places, sometimes I was sort of shamed for doing really well. At one point, I had a boss at a job and a radio job say, "You need to stop doing so much because you're making us look bad."
Yeah.
And I laughed, and he said, "No, really. You need to stop doing so much."
Yeah, no, I've seen that in other work.
So here, it's encouraged.
Yeah, nobody...
I'm encouraged to shine, and I do best when I'm shining.
Yeah.
I don't do best when I'm trying to fit myself into a little box and hold back.
It's not a competition. We're
no.
just all here together doing our
but
thing.
But that's the ideology here, that if one of us succeeds, the station succeeds, we all succeed. Other places I've worked, and probably you too, it's you succeeding is me failing. But that's not the ideology here. And I think that's why I've done well here. Everything, like if I go to Sam, our boss, and I say, or Ronan, our station manager, and I say, "Hey, I have an idea. What do you think?" And I pitch an idea that's something that's never been done before, but it's a good idea for the station. It's usually like, "Oh, yeah, great, do it. Try it. Sure, okay."
Yeah.
A lot of places it would be, "No, we've never done that before, so we're never doing it." But that's why our station here continues to grow, like this show. So listeners of the show probably know, maybe don't know, that for 5 years I did a politics show in this slot. And then after the election, some stuff got crazy. And I decided that what the country and the world needed from me at that time was not to be doing a politics show with somebody of a different ideology where we hashed out ideas and debated. That just wasn't what the world needed. So we took a break, and during the break, I had founded this movement a month before, and during the break, I called up Sam and I said, "I have an idea. I want to keep the slot, but instead of doing politics, I want to do give back, spirituality, what gets you through the days, what are you feeling good about, something that's all positive." Because at that time, at the end of 2016, just saying the word politics, you lost 10 friends. And he, and we'd never done a show like this before, and he was like, do it, try it. His idea is always just try it. When I first pitched my daily show to him, the Sheena Metal Experience, I said I've always wanted to do this show that's about people's passions and their hearts and, you know, what makes them want to be an artist and why they're in the business and what gets them through it with a smile. And he said to me, try it. If people are listening, we'll do it. If people stop listening and they don't like it, we'll try something else. So that kind of idea, whereas before when I had pitched that idea to radio stations, it was always, nobody cares about people's hearts and nobody cares about passion. And that was way before the internet became so big. Now we know from the internet that a lot of articles now and a lot of things that celebrities and people on, you know, TV shows who have rec albums that put up on their Facebook and their social media is them talking about their passions. Mm-hmm. So it really was what people wanted to talk about, but nobody would give me a shot with it. And but here, this is a place where you can try new things. You know, Rebecca's show, Dancing with Ghosts, we just moved from the studio right here where we are right now over to doing everything as a television show on camera. And they were very open to trying that. I mean, just everything they're open to. And I need to be in a creative environment where people are open to new ideas because I'm always growing and changing and coming up with new things.
Yeah, well, I'm notorious on my guitar show for, like, doing bizarre things, wiring in and out of the studio with microphones. And so, yes, that spirit is very – and Sam will look at me like,
it is large
you are
with us.
Nuts. You know, you are totally crazy, and I'll have, like – I'll do weird miking and just plug in boxes and effects and stuff. But I want to point out one thing about
– Sure.
To the people to be aware, because it's all good and well to say, you know – And live this open type of thing and the way that you accept people and you go out of your way to create tribe. But there's a caution. There's a caveat that you need to look at, too. And we've all dealt with it. Like you were saying before, in our lives, we've had a clean house a little bit, too. And there and unfortunately, in this day and age, there are people that will try to take advantage of that type of openness.
Sure.
And come
and they
come
have with
place.
Me.
Yes. Well, I think all of us, and I think yeah. people, the listeners out there have experienced it, too. And we've talked before on other shows about, like, for example, the type of sociopathic behavior that's very prevalent in society today. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's negative, and we can overcome it by love. But you have to be wary. You have to be educated so you understand, so you can spot things. And protect yourselves. You have to protect yourself because you're opening your heart. And that's a very vulnerable place. And when it's open and it's reciprocal and you get people, it's a beautiful thing. And it's a very powerful thing. But there are people that can kind of take advantage of that and tap it and like emotional vampires, as we call them.
Yeah.
And so you got to be careful. So and unfortunately, our society is, again, the culture of especially here in the United States is one of you know it's judgmental in some ways. Some people are, not everybody, but it's judgmental. We're now seeing with the rise of social media people ranting, people you know blasting and bullying, you know, because it's easy to bully on the internet and not get caught. It's different when you say something to somebody's face and they bop you in the nose. But you don't have that. So people tend to be more courageous online than they would normally be. So you're seeing a lot of these emotions flying, and there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of people that are fearmongers that are just generating fear. Like, oh, this means this. Oh, that, you know, I'm a big fan of conspiracy theories, but conspiracy theories a lot of times can just are a lot of people will instigate them just to generate fear. And that's not what. That's not healthy,
right?
And it's not good. So you got to watch it. So what I'm saying to the people, the listeners out there, is you need to love, and you need to that type of giving unconditionally can be done. Sometimes people will try to take advantage of it, and you walk away and you move on. You know, they're not in that inner tribe that you want. And I've seen of the 9 years that I've known Sheena. Yeah, there's people there that just they just try to, you know, and being a celebrity, that's another thing. You get some people that are not 100% there
They're a little bit spacey and bizarre, but we're all learning, and I think in our lives, and you'll see as if you're younger people, when you get a little bit older, you start seeing this because your energy, as you get older, you need to conserve your energy because you get tired, and you need to watch that things don't sap you because you're trying to, you know, as we get older, we see our mortality. We got a lot to do, and negativeness really drains you. You notice it more when you get older. So you're going to watch, and as you get, you know, the younger listeners out there, you'll you know, be aware of that because it does drain you. Negativity, and there are people that are emotional vampires, and you got to be careful. You got to watch it. It doesn't mean that you don't love. It doesn't mean, like, I'm not saying to Sheena, don't make your tribe and don't tribalize, if you can call it
right.
that way.
Tribalize.
Don't tribalize. No, do that. But be careful, and you'll be fine. But that's the thing. You still, I do believe that love will persevere. But you have to take care of yourself, too. You've got to protect. It's just like walking outside. You know, if you go outside in the middle of downtown L.A., make sure that you're careful or you might not come back. You know, so you have to be, you know, you have to be cautious and be wise about it. That's all I'm saying.
And can I just say that I hate that story so much? I hate the story that we have to be careful and we have to be wary of one another. I know it's the truth, but I still kind of hate that story. I just think that it's a shame that there are people in the, you know, the bad apples in the group that force us all to have to be like the meerkat that stands outside the hole and guards, because there's some people that you just can't trust. That's a shame to me.
What I find difficult is, like, as a guy and an older single guy, just being affectionate towards people take it, they're fearful because they've met abusive guys. So all those people that are really just puds and are terrible.
Did you just call somebody a pud?
A pud.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I was going to say something worse.
That just took me right back to college. That was great.
I was going
to
say something worse, and I'm trying, what can I say that
24 years of my show, the first time anyone has ever said the word pud. That's
great.
I said the pud word.
And I use it proudly.
Pud.
But I mean, that's the thing. It's just that it makes it more difficult sometimes that people don't trust, because they're looking at you like, why are you doing this? Why?
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes. And I resent. So when I see somebody, you know, in the news assault a woman or bully a person, or it pisses me off, because it just gives a bad rap to the rest of us, because we're just trying to be nice. No ulterior motive. It's not a matter of trying to, you know, take advantage of anybody. But yeah, they're puds.
They're total puds.
Puds.
Pud. Yeah, that's not a good thing. Don't be a pud, people.
Right. But I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that you know, it just, because there's so many people that are just are, you know, doing things like that and just bullying or whatever they're doing or trolling or whatever it is, yeah, it makes it harder. It makes it harder for you. So, but don't give up. You know, if you're a tribalizer, tribalize. Like Sheena, tribalize. We need more tribes.
Yes, we need many more tribes.
I'm not a tribalizer, but I make friends with
them. I'm a tribalizer.
But I'm the firm belief, because a lot in the last few years, a lot of friends around me, a lot of close people, you know, like Sheena with her mom, my mom,
yeah,
they passed away. And what's important to me, I was explaining to somebody just the other night about that. I said, when one of my palms died, the last thing I actually did before she died was I picked her up and hugged her.
Aww.
And I tend to hug people, as if you ask anybody here at LA Talk Radio, I hug people a lot, because it might be the last time that I see them. And the last thing I want you to remember me is by a hug or some type of affection or love, because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I saw him before he got blown up. Yeah, he hugged me. You know, I mean, to me, that's a powerful thing.
Well, and you know, life is short, right? We've lost two of our best buddies and vibration helpers, Michael, who was on the council, and Leonard, who was my assistant for years, 2 months apart this year. I mean, crazy. I mean, I just don't even know what to say. I don't even think I've begun to process any of it yet. It still seems like they're still here. It's such a strange thing.
It takes time. I mean, you get stunned. At one point in my life, there was like every other month somebody was dying.
Yeah.
And you just become numb to it. You'll eventually react to it, but it's just like you can't process it. It's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing. But think about it. And I stress that to the audience out there. When you see somebody, just look at it for a minute, like, you know, not to be doomsday, but just like, what's the last thing you want them to remember you by? But say that, you know, they dropped the bomb and we're all gone. What's the last thing you did to that, whoever the person is that you saw that day or the people that you saw that day? Did you give them a hug? Did you just say hi? Did you say, I love you? Did you say, you know, you have a great day, you know, whatever it is, whatever positive thing. I mean, every time we leave the studio, if I see Sheena hugs me and tells me she loves me every time.
Yeah, well, because I do, and you should. I tell all my friends I love them. And I had somebody once, and another thing, I had somebody in my life who I thought was one of my dearest friends. And then it turned out a few months later, some stuff happened, and this person was not somebody that should have been in my life. But she always to say to me, you say I love you to too many people. She said, you should never say it on Facebook to just, you know, because I always sometimes when I read a nice post about, like, when the anniversary of my mom passing or something that is important to me with the vibration, I'll put thank you and I love you all at the end. She should never do that. I do it at the end of every one of these Raising the Vibration shows. I say it because I mean it. She said, because then people in your life who you really love, they won't understand the difference. So I called up my best friend, L.A. Weiss, who's on our council, and I said, so when I put I love you all on Facebook posts or when I say it on the Vibration Show, does it make you feel like I love you any less? And she said, no, that's ridiculous. There's no limit to love. But I think some people believe there is. Like, love is a precious jelly beans in a jar that are all going to run out, Jeff.
Well, the thing that that person was missing is you do love all those people.
I do.
When you say I love you, you mean it.
I do.
You know, And I admire you're more fearless about that. I'm a little more fearful about that because when you say I love you, coming as a guy, sometimes when I say something to one of the to the female friends on there, especially because a lot of them are married and stuff, people misread it, and they'll say, they get uptight about it. So I'm a little more cautious about it in that sense, and I admire you that you're more fearless about that because. Sometimes I think in the overall view, we should do more of that. But I understand, the conventions and our culture.
I've had some people, as you know, I've had some people think I meant it much differently and gotten real crazy pants on me.
But like somebody the other day was just saying something I thought was really inspirational. And I just said, so what I say is I said, this is, I acknowledge it. This is great. And you're amazing. So I use that. That's a little less, controversial. But I mean, I do mean that. And that's the thing. When you see a post from Sheena that, saying, I love you guys and I love this, and she means it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you from knowing her personally, seeing her face to face, she really
does. I use love a lot in my life. I talk about it a lot. I love stuff. And I don't believe there should be a limit to how much you love.
Well, you can never have too much love in your life, just like you can never have too many hugs in your life.
Yeah,
I agree about that. That's one thing you can't OD on, hugs.
Well,
everybody needs them, and it's a positive thing, and it's a very nurturing and healing thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you a very interesting story. So my mom was adopted, so I'm the child of an adopted parent. And my best friend, L.A., has an adopted daughter. And their birthdays were my mother's was November 9th, and my niece's is the 16th. So it's interesting that I'm the child of an adopted Scorpio, and she has an adopted Scorpio. So I have always referred to her as my niece, like from the very beginning. I've always referred to her as my niece, but I always sort of did it when she wasn't around because I didn't know if it would make her feel weird because LA has a real family of cousins and aunts and uncles, and I have none of that. So to me, family is who I decide family is. So one day we were on the phone a couple of years ago, and I heard my niece say something in the background, and L.A. said, well, yes. And then she came back, and she said, she just asked me, is Sheena my aunt? So I said, what did you tell her? She's like, I told her yes. And I said, oh, great. So I just always refer to her as my niece, and now I do in front of her, because I figure, like, she broke the ice and it was easy for her. And I think it's important for her as an adopted person to realize that people don't have to be your blood to be your family. So I went to her birthday party in November, and she kind of grabbed me and pulled me into this back room where there was just a, I mean, it was like a clown car. How many 9-year-olds can you fit into a room? And she said, oh, I want you all to meet my Aunt Sheena. And I thought, you know what? And I cried, and I ran and told LA's husband. I'm like, I just said I was her aunt, and I can't, I'm gonna lose it. But that's the beauty, is that we as human beings on the earth, Jeff, we have the ability to make the life that we want. And if we love someone, like, I consider you my brother. Now, we're not blood relations, but who cares? I wasn't a blood relation.
I'm adopted Irish, so it kind of works.
See, there you go. O'Floro. So I'm going to call you from now on.
With
O'Floro.
Mick Snicky.
Oh, it's Jeffrey O'Floro. Top of the morning to you. But, you know, that's we can decide. I can decide. I love you. You're my brother. I can decide. I love you. You're my niece. And we can make family with love. And for those of us that weren't really born with a family, or if we're born with a family like other folks, we're born with families that they don't feel connected to spiritually. I just was not born with blood relations. It's a beautiful thing to be able to make your own family. You don't have to not have a family because you're not blood related to people. And once we get our ancestry done, we realize we're all related to everybody anyhow, and we're all related to some monkey.
Well, my parents divorced when I was young, and, you know, our family was pretty dysfunctional on both sides of the family in terms of relatives. And, well, my parents, too. They broke up, and it took me a while to learn that divorce is a two-way street.
Yeah.
That my parents are human, and they have flaws, because my parents were superhuman when I was a kid. They did everything for me, especially my mom as a nurse. I mean, that was a very important thing to see. I mean, that was a hard thing to deal with, to see the humanness of them and that they're not perfect. But I remember talking to my mom before she died. Like, you know, she would get very frustrated because she didn't, you know, she wanted to see my brother's grandkids. I don't have kids. So she wanted to see the grandkids all the time. And she was very frustrated because she felt that they should be over every day. You know, and I said, Mom, you make your own family. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with tribalizing. You make your own family. And she did get that before she died. She did understand that, because she met, when she would come down and help out at church and stuff, she met all the people that I had befriended and the priests and all that stuff. And she got it. And that is true. You really do make your own family. Just because you're related by blood doesn't necessarily bind you to them. It's how you relate to anybody. Any relationship is really what determines the family.
Yeah.
To me. And I think that you do that well. That's part of that whole process. And we see it here. I mean, I used to do that in the work area. I treated people like family. We were all together. We interacted in a much more informal family type way when I worked at different places. And you see it here. And that's just part of how we do it. Part of that's my Italian upbringing, because that's a family. Or, and you're Irish. That's a family type of, it's in your genes to have a family in that sense. And I think that that's important that you do that. And you can. So you're never alone. That's a choice.
I agree.
Being alone is a choice. And as a Virgo, I like to be alone sometimes. I mean, I'm used to being independent. And I can handle going by though now it's different, because I have the kids now, the girls, the little Palms. So I have a family now. So it's different. And it has changed my life. I miss them right now. I'm already anticipating going home and playing with them.
Oh.
I mean, I've never felt that before like that. I mean, it's really weird. I honestly, they're just a blast. They're just so funny.
Do you know, I even feel that way because I have my cat Molly, who's like my familiar, right, and my soulmate. But I have my one of my best friends, Kelly, who's on our vibrational council. She has this beautiful black lab named Antietam. Mm-hmm. And this dog is a healer. Like, she was born on Abraham Lincoln's birthday, which is interesting because Kelly and her son are Civil War reenactors. And when she sees you, she has to come up and put her hands on your shoulders. And, you know, she's a 100-pound dog. And she has to look you right in the eyes. and just like, I think she wants to get your vibe and make sure you're okay. And if you're upset and you won't let her come and do that, she gets so upset because she's a healer. She wants to look you in the eyes and let you know she cares about you and you're okay. Well, I find I go and see, I go down to my mom's house a couple times a week and get her mail and sort through the stuff I got to sort through with her house. And I go have dinner with Kelly and her family, which she likes to refer to as, I should say, my family, with my family and my Rivers, Kelly Rivers and my Rivers family. I swear to God, I go to see that dog as much as I go to see the people, because there is something about connecting with her. She's yeah. magic, and she's a healer. And I'm like, I go in, I'm in a store, and I think like, oh, what would Antietam like? What could I get Antietam? And I'm thinking, looking at all the toys, and people are like, oh, do you have a dog? And I'm like, no, but I have a dog niece, and she's amazing. So I think that that there's an important place in our life where animals belong. And people that don't have any animals in their life, you need to get one. Doesn't have to be yours.
Right.
But you need to have a friend that has one. Get a dog niece or nephew. Get a cat niece or nephew, because they have important spiritual gifts for us, and we need them.
Well, if you want to understand unconditional love, check out a dog.
And unconditional
they just
wisdom.
Give it.
They're so
it's
wise.
It's interesting, because the other day I was working on the computer, and Snicky and Nani, or as we say, McSnicky and O'Nanahan.
Oh, yes.
I did that for St. Patty's
Day.
Did you
call her O'Nanahan?
O'Nanahan.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
So anyway, so they were sitting down. They were laying down, and I was having problems with the internet, and I was getting pissed.
You know, I will call her O'Nanahan now for the rest of my life.
Yes. So she, but I mean, I just started swearing. I was just like angry. And they jumped up and came up, and they were like staring at me and, you know, like sticking their nose in my face, like, what's going on? What's going on? I mean, it blew me away. It took me out of the anger mode immediately, but I was like, wow. I mean, they were laying down, and I just kind of under my breath was like, damn internet, you know. And they just jumped up, like, boom, they caught it real fast. Because, I mean, I've never yelled at them. I might call if they're far away,
no.
But they're such well-behaved dogs. Anyway, I've never had to really discipline them in any way, and so it was weird. It was just like they just came right up to my face, like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, they're very concerned.
Yeah,
cats do the same thing.
Very sensitive.
I'm crying, which thankfully is not that often. I mean, I could cry a lot, but if I'm bad crying, which thankfully is not that often. Sometimes I'll open my eyes and Molly will be sitting right in front of me, and she'll just be kind of looking at me like, are you okay? Do you need something? Should I crawl on your lap? Am I okay here? Are we doing okay? Because I think that I had a friend that used to say that the reason that dogs and cats don't rule the world is that they're too emotional, that they're pure emotion, and that human beings could learn from becoming a little more emotional.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. They're pure empaths, and it's all intuition, and it's all emotion. And they just feel you. They feel everyone. And I think we could learn from them and do a lot more of that in our lives.
Yeah, no, it's very healing what they do, and it which shows you that being like that, being loving and unconditionally loving people is very healing.
Yeah.
So, like, it's to me, that's a vital tenet of raising the vibration.
I agree.
That's what a lot of what it's about, because you need to be able to, you have to, that kind of give, it's a very powerful thing. I can't stress that, how powerful, the power of love, that's what it's about.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're right back with the wonderful Jeff Floro right after this. It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio, and we'll be back in just moments after a word from some of these wonderful nonprofits that I adore.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, and I'm here to tell you about that abuse is an epidemic in our world. Abuse has many forms, spousal and child abuse, sex and human traffic victims, and sexual abuse. Musicians Against Abuse wants to do something about it, and you can help. Contact maabuse.com. That's maabuse.com. Join me and let's do something about it. maabuse.com.
Alcohol-related harm affects us all. Everyone knows someone who's been touched. Alcohol-related harm ranges from lost jobs to serious mental and physical disease, from ruined family life to property damage, from violent crime to homelessness, death, or prison. Go to alcoholjustice.org and sign up for action alerts and e-news. Then you'll be ready to add your voice to many others when it's time to call for action that will reduce alcohol-related harm.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. So join me 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at www.latalkradio.com on Channel 1, and let's explore All About Guitar.
When was the last time a song made a difference in your life? If you're a songwriter who would like to help the victims of the recent hurricanes, your music can make a difference. By offering one song download for just $1, you can help bring aid and hope to those in need. To find out more information and join songwriters Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick in this effort, please visit writersforthestorm.com. That's W-R-I-T-E-R-S forthestorm.com.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
When Debbie Fragner gave birth to Maddie, she imagined a world of possibilities. But when her daughter was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, a neurological condition that impacts a person's ability to move and maintain balance, she had to adjust her expectations. Cerebral palsy affects 1 in 323 children in the U.S. While this diagnosis may limit Maddie's physical abilities, it doesn't limit her ability to dream. Maddie is now 9 and has a dream to dance, which inspired the creation of the Children's Cerebral Palsy Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to the design and funding of innovative therapies that address not only the physical challenges of these children, but their dreams as well. As part of their Community Giving Day program, Whole Foods Market will donate 5% of net day sales to our movement on June 15th at their Tustin location and June 22nd in Newport Beach. Your purchases on these days will help further our cause. For more information, please call 714-746-4085. That's 714-746-4085.
Hi, my name is Michael Vaccaro. I have a groovy web series called Child of the 70s with some really groovy people in it, including Bruce Valanche, Jerry Jewell from The Facts of Life, Ted Lange from The Love Boat, comedian Judy Tenuta, Carolita White from Laverne and Shirley, Ann Walker from Sordid Lives, Amy Linker from Square Pegs, Gina Heck from Mork and Mindy. We have Johnny Hazard, Leo Forte, Terry Ray, Chuck Sakula, and LA Talk Radio legend Sheena Metal. I play this guy who idolizes a 1970s TV star, but then he gets a job as her personal assistant. You know how they say that you should never meet your personal idols? Well, you know, you can find us on YouTube, Funny or Die, Out TV, and you can also go to our website, www.theofficialchildofthe70s.com. It's groovy. Hey, did I say that already? Yeah, it's groovy. I'm a
child of the 70s. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Sue Hamilton, and on November 9th, 2016, Artists Rise Up Los Angeles was created in response to the election and its results.
Through original theater and art, Arula creates and inspires positive political and social change.
And gives all its proceeds to charitable organizations such as ACLU and Planned Parenthood.
Join us
at artistriseupla.com
or on Twitter at artistriseupla.
Did you know that healthcare institutions provide arts programming for patients, families, and staff because of their healing benefits? Shorter hospital stays, better pain management, and less medication. Believe in the art. Go to www.mvcaf.org and click the donate button on any page. Support the Moreno Valley Cultural Arts Foundation.
When was the last time a song made a difference in your life? If you're a songwriter who would like to help the victims of the recent hurricanes, your music can make a difference. By offering one song download for just $1, you can help bring aid and hope to those in need. To find out more information and join songwriters Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick in this effort, please visit writersforthestorm.com. That's W-R-I-T-E-R-S forthestorm.com.
I'm nice to everyone, and some people don't treat me with the respect I want, but I tell them that's okay. I don't care what you guys think about me. I'm perfectly happy being who I am, and I would not change for nobody else, because God made me the person who I am today.
We ask questions and we get answers. NAsks.tv.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. We are at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. We're at LATalkRadio.com. I'm at SheenaMetal.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. And the movement that started all is at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And soon at RaisingTheVibration.org, you can go there and watch that site being built. Our online community, over 12,000 strong, is at The Vibration Nation. And we are actually almost 16,000 strong right now. We might even be over 16,000 strong on social media right now. And in just a little over a year and a half, not even quite a year and a half, I'm so proud of that fact. One of my wonderful vibrational council, they're the people that make this all happen. The amazing Jeff Floro is here. Welcome, my friend.
It's great to be here. This is fun.
I was thinking about something really interesting when you were talking about how our moms died not quite a year apart. Patty Negri from our vibrational council, her mom died like 2 months before mine. Kelly from our vibrational council, her mother died a month before Patty's. And Glenn on our vibrational council, his mom died 2 months before that. And Robert, who's on our vibrational council, his dad was murdered the summer of 2009 or 2010. So we were sitting in a room with Robert, Glenn, Patty, you, me, and Michael from our vibrational council. And every one of us had had a parent that died recently, except for Michael, and then Michael died. So it's kind of interesting how groups of people come together tribally, and then all of us have similar experiences at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because after my mom died, like 3 weeks ago, a friend of mine that I went to school with, his mom was failing, and we would meet and see each other and talk and stuff, and I was watching the decline of his mom. I didn't go see her; she was in a rest home, but she finally passed away, and she was the same age as my mom. They knew each other from school when I went to grammar school.
Wow!
And you know, so he was asking me.
And it's weird. You know, God works in strange ways. A lot of times the experiences that you have, as sorrowful or as difficult they are, they prepare you to do other things and, like you said, serving others. So I helped them a lot, or I tried to advise them how to handle the services and just give them support, tell them what I the experiences I had, you need yeah. to do this. And I find myself doing that a lot now. So a lot of my friends, their parents are starting to, you know, they're at that age. So we talk a lot. People will come up to me and ask me about that. How did you deal with that? You know, how are you dealing with it now? Or something, you know, or the logistics of dealing with a, you know, a funeral. So
it's interesting because, you know, when my mom died, I had no idea what to do because she didn't give me any arrangements at all except don't you dare bury me. Don't put me in the ground. Don't put me in the ocean. I don't want a funeral. I don't want an obituary because it's depressing. But aside from that, she said, just throw a big party and invite all your friends. So that's what I did at the Improv. But then, 8 months later, when your mom passed, and I went to your mom's funeral, and I saw how beautifully you had the whole thing planned out. It was in this church she'd gone to her whole life. You knew the priest. You knew everybody there. And I started thinking about how if you don't grow up in one place and you don't have a biological family and you don't belong to an indoctrined religious institution, some religion of some kind in a church, it's much more, what do I do when somebody dies? And one of the main reasons that I got ordained in the summer and that I became an interfaith minister, everybody's like, oh, you're going to marry your friends? That's what everybody asks me. I'm like, no, I'm going to do their memorial services. I mean, maybe that's just because I'm cryptic and Irish, but I really became a minister to be able to do memorial services because for people that don't have that kind of family and community like your mama had, sometimes it's like they don't have any idea what to do when they die. And well, some of them don't even have a child like me that can handle things.
Well, it was interesting because I did have practice because I helped my dad with my grandfather, and then I had a key part with my grandmother, and then I dealt with my dad's. So the funeral home knows me really well. They just know me by first name.
Sorry.
And actually, when I went to my friend's funeral, he's like, you know, the last time I saw you guys together was at your mom's funeral. And it's like, yes. And I said, it's good to see you, but don't rush me. I hope not to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
But that being said, actually, and it's interesting because you brought up my mom's funeral. There was only a few people that were actual family there. My brother was there. His wife, my niece was there. I don't think any of my nephews were there because they were out of town. And one of my cousins was there and her husband. All those other people were people around us, whether they knew my mom from church or friends of mine like yourself.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you had mentioned too, and I noticed it, and a lot of people have mentioned, was just the whole vibe of it.
Yeah.
It was a very uplifting ceremony, even though it was a funeral. I mean, I was crying like a baby, but the thing was is that even the little luncheon that we had after that, where we had it was a Marie Callender's, where my mom used to go every Sunday. We used to go there, and the people that were serving and helping were the people that served her when she was there.
That's so it was wonderful.
Everybody there, it was all the same group. It was, and you, I remember you coming up to me like, I've never been to a funeral like that. It was like, it was fun in a sense.
Yeah, it was
very
really
uplifting.
Fun.
It was, when you left, you weren't like dismal, like, oh God, I'm so sad. It was like everybody was happy.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I was even amazed.
And what a great little Marie Callender's that was. It had a bar that was full of people at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it had like a taco bar. I mean, it was really nice.
They're right. It's right across from the hospital, so a lot of people come over from the hospital.
Yeah, and apparently, and drink.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
As long as they're not surgeons, I'm okay. You know, but no, that was the thing. It was very interesting to see. You know, and it taught me how to prepare people to die in a sense, because you got it's a weird thing. Like my friend was telling me. This recent one that happened, you know, he had to finally go to 24-hour hospice. So they were medicating her as needed, but basically she was immobile
And that's a sign. But I learned a few things, and I'll give you an example, advice to you out there. If you have a parent or somebody that's ill, that's dying, and they're getting ready for hospice, set up your appointment with the funeral home and let them know. So when, like my dad, he died in his house. My mom died at the hospital, but he died in his house. And I was told by the funeral home, call us, do not call the police. Because if you call the police, they still have to investigate the death, and it locks everything up. So
right.
Like my dad had set up certain monies to pay for his funeral, that as soon as the death certificate was issued, I was the executor of his will. So I had to go to the bank, pull the money, which paid for the funeral, which paid for this, paid for that. If you don't do that, it goes and everything locks up, and you can't touch it, and it can take a while. So the funeral home told me about that, and that's just one of the things you learn. And basically, I set it up, and they were cool. Since they knew me from the other two funerals, they floated me 2 days to let me go to the bank, get the money, and then put the down payment and pay for the funeral. And it was all set up, and it went smoothly. And like my mom's, it was like I knew what to do. I had to pick clothing. I knew. I just walked in. Okay, I want this casket, this blah, 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 blah. And I literally, in an hour, it was all done. I mean, but I've done it 3 or 4 times. So, but there's just little, yeah. So there's little things you learn, what you have to deal with, what you need, the paperwork. I did my dad's estate, my mom's estate. You pick up things. So I find myself helping other people, again, giving it back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting to watch, because I hadn't been to a funeral.
Catholic funeral.
Had not been to a Catholic funeral since my father was still, we were still on the East Coast and going to his family's funerals. I mean, probably since junior high. And I had not been to that many funerals, period. Like, I hardly knew anybody that died. It's interesting, I've lost 3 friends, Michael Leonard and a friend from high school, in 3 months. I didn't know anybody that died for the longest time. I guess I was very, very lucky. It had been a long time since I had been to a traditional funeral. I went to a lot of funerals when friends passed from AIDS, but those tended to be more life celebrations and not traditional funerals.
Right.
So I hadn't been to one in a long time, and especially where somebody actually got buried in a cemetery. And I had forgotten kind of the beauty and the reverence of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when my grandmother died, that was the last time I was able, they don't do it anymore. They left the casket in the church overnight. We had the rosary, and they left it in this little area with the we have a replica of the Pietà, so the Blessed Mother. So my grandmother laid in rest overnight, and then the morning they pulled her out and we did the funeral. They used to do that, and they don't do that now. It's usually done at the home, but I was lucky to do that. I was able to do that. So yeah, there's interesting. The tradition is. It's a traditional type of a thing, but it was very interesting, especially my mom's. My mom's, I've never experienced that vibe. I was mourning and stuff, but I actually felt energized when I left.
Yeah, it was a beautiful job.
There was an energy there of all those people, because all the people there were positive people. There wasn't any negativity or anything. When my dad died, he always fought with his sisters. One of the sisters, I think, showed up to the other one was in the hospital at the time, but there was like tension. There was weird. It was really strange. It was, you know, but this one was really interesting. It was very, but I remember you said that, like, I've never experienced it. Even Rebecca was saying, this is amazing, you know.
Right. And she probably has been to a lot more traditional funerals than I have.
They can get down. I mean, you can feel very, you know, just very morose after it. But this one, actually, everybody was happy and hugging, and it was that part of it was my mom, I think.
I was just going to say, your mom was absolutely ready to go, so she was having fun.
Yeah, well, even Rebecca said when she passed, she could see her leave her body. She literally, because one of the nights we were there, Rebecca was at the hospital, and she's like, my God, the energy. Because my mom was she was a firebolt.
Yeah, she was an Aries.
You know, and she, the body was just like,
you know, putting her in this like lead container.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I
think my mom too. Yeah. About an hour after my mom died, I was walking up her driveway and all of a sudden I felt her spirit move through me, and she felt like she felt when I was a kid, only 10 times more powerful. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, no wonder you didn't like being stuck in that body and being infirmed. No wonder.
Yeah.
Because there was so much going on there, and to be stuck in a fragile old body that isn't working, that must just suck.
So, no, they were, I always told my mom and my grandmother, you know, you guys were built better, you had better parts. But they definitely were powerful. My mom was, I was just talking to somebody the other day. I mean, to me, when I was younger, my mom was like Superwoman. She was Wonder Woman. She did everything. I could call her, and she, you know, if I hurt myself or I was having a problem, I didn't feel good, she knew. As a nurse, she knew. She would say, take this. Okay, take care of that. I'll call you in an hour.
I love that.
I miss that the most. I miss that the most because she was an encyclopedia. I just, you know, my brother is good, but he's a doctor, but my mom just knew. I mean, it was total experience. And my mom was intuitive. She sensed, you could tell some of it was she was reading it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was picking it up. So she was a very amazing lady. But it was fun. It was interesting. But yeah, it was a positive thing. I was proud of that one because it turned out okay.
Oh, you did fantastic.
And
with
it
that.
Wasn't a tense. It wasn't. My brother was cool. He gave me a lot of latitude, and it was just me and my brother, so which made it a lot easier. I mean, I presume if I had like six or seven siblings, it could have been a mess. But it was very, very straightforward, and you know, not a lot of problem, no problems at all, actually. And I think that, you know, that's unusual, people. But the vibe there, I have to admit, that was a very special day.
Well, but I think it's it says a lot to your character, sweetheart, that you allowed others, you were allowed to make others feel better when you were grieving. I mean, that you understood that the vibration of the day had to be what it was. Just like a couple times you used the word vibes in relation to your mom's memorial service.
Yeah.
When you just were falling apart, but you were still wanting to make sure the day was great for others and for her.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, it's important for me too. It's one of my prayers that I say every day is that even if I'm feeling down, even if things are, I'm having a rough day, that I'm always positive for other people.
It's important.
And point them in a positive direction. That to me, especially kids.
Yes.
Because, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, like at church, I usher sometimes, so they're going up for communion and they bring their kids, and everybody's frowning. You know, everybody's just
Why?
Stern. Well,
they're in church.
It's not that they're upset, but I think they, you know, if you look at people like walking down the street or driving in the car on the freeway, they're just tense. Not necessarily for a specific thing. I don't think they're angry all the time, but we frown a lot more than we smile.
It's too bad.
So what I would do, you know, again, being the rowdy person that I am, I waved to all the kids and smile at them. Some of the parents think I'm a total loony, but the kids would smile at me back. But I explained, one lady asked me, why do you do that? I said, because all they see is frowns. And these kids are like from 3 to 5 or something. That's part of those impressionable years. They need to see smiles, and they need to see waving is okay. I'm not saying that they need to, here, come with me, kid, let's go to the playground. It's just waving and saying hi and being friendly and courteous. And to me, that's important. You have to. That's part of raising the vibration. That's that positiveness.
Agreed.
And you can do it with other people, too. It doesn't have to be just kids. But that's so important. And that's one of the things that, to me, that we got to be careful, especially kids, because they're sponges. And they sit there and they see. So, like, if people are uptight or mumbling, not necessarily directed at them, like what happened when I started swearing about my computer, the dogs came up, like, what's going on? You know, they thought, like, what's happening? You know?
Right, exactly.
Well, kids are like that, too. And what'll happen is the kid will think it's their fault. You know, just like when parents break up, the kids believe it's their fault.
Yeah.
You know? And It's not. It's in, and you got to, you know, you got to build their, you got to keep their vibration on a positive track.
Yes.
Up there, because it's easy for them to get in a slump, and especially as a young kid, you don't want that child to be depressed. There's no need for it, you know. We got plenty of time later.
No. Well, and they're the ones that are going to grow up and be in charge of the vibrations when we're old. So we have to teach them now how to do it.
Right. And as we get older now, and I that to me is the most important thing. And I see that a lot. I was talking to some people on my show all about guitar, because a lot of the guitar players are older. And it's and they believe, too, like myself, it's so important to pass this on. We have to welcome the new blood into the industry, because that's the only way it's going to survive. You know, yeah, we're doing our thing. We're okay. But, you know, in a few years, we're going to be gone. And it's finite. So we need to pass on what we, our knowledge and what we know. And the same way as raising the vibration, we need to pass on that type of positiveness and how to stay positive so that our children are positive, you know?
Yes.
I mean, just looking at how negative things are in media and stuff like that, just the politics of politics, it's so important to keep the kids positive so they're not, you know, they're not depressed and having issues. There's no need for them to. If they see people coming from a loving place, they will be loving people.
Absolutely.
And I can't stress that enough. That's just so important. Our days, we all die. We're all going to be gone. So who's going to be left? I'm hoping that it'll be people that are raising the vibration, and their vibration's already up there.
Absolutely.
And they bring it higher.
Well, that brings up something about the student march this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend. How great is it to see kids becoming aware of what's going on in our world and speaking eloquently? No matter what their views or their opinions are, it's just nice to see kids getting involved and speaking eloquently. Because I think we do a lot of talking, middle-aged people. We do a lot of talking about, oh, this next generation. I don't want to leave our world to these weirdos. Actually, I'm perfectly okay to leave my world to these kids.
It was hypocritical. And I saw this, like some celebrities were posting pictures. They were at the march, and they were saying, this is cool. And these people were trolling them and saying, you know, they're just a bunch of radicals, and you're just trying to. And it's like, people, what happened 40 years ago? You guys were out there protesting the war, protesting the establishment.
Yes.
What hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, yeah, it's cool. That's what we do. We have that right. It's in our, you know, as Americans, that's one thing we do that's unique to a lot of other people. We actually do it and don't get killed.
Yeah.
You know, other countries you can do it, but you might get shot. But the point was, is these people are like, you know, complaining and moaning, and it's like, you did this 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Why are you so threatened by it? It's, you know, they have a right to, you know, to express themselves, and more power to them. Whether you agree with them or not, I think that they have that right, and it's a sacred God-given right. As an American, they have that right to do that. But I just thought that was kind of funny, because all these people would just get all weird about it, and it's like, why would you get weird about it? So they're protesting. What's so big deal? But they get threatened. You know what I mean?
Well, and they have a right to say, look, we can have our opinions on guns, and we all probably have varying opinions on guns. I'm happy to share mine, but it doesn't really matter here. But the point is, I've never had somebody walk in with a gun and maul down a bunch of my friends in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I'd had that experience, I would feel differently. So these are people who have actually been victims of gun violence. They are kids that were actually there when it happened. And they're speaking out honestly.
Well, regardless of the opinion, in one sense, it is important, the opinion. And the issue is something that does need to be talked
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely, it does.
But put that aside for just a second, not to minimalize it. But let's just look a little bit at the fact that you have two things to me were important about the march. A, kids are getting involved. That was very important. Kids are saying, hey,
This is our world. It's going to be our world, and we don't like this. Okay, so that's number one. And they're going to be voters in a few years.
Yeah, they are. And there's a whole bunch of them, right? Millions are going to be ready to vote in November.
Now, and then there were adults there that were protesting. And again, what you're seeing, we talked about this before, probably not on a show, but I remember when you were, you know, just when you were just starting to set up Raising the Vibration.
Yeah.
After the elections, you were very depressed and you were very upset just because the negativity, not whether who made it in office. It wasn't the issue. The issue was all these people. And I admit, I mean, I dreaded to go on Facebook. We use Facebook to promote our shows, but it was so
Facebook was
negative.
Ugly. Yeah.
It was unreal. And the thing that was important was is that the I was saying is this, and Rebecca said this too, is that there is good things that are happening. Ultimately, things work for a positive agenda. They eventually go positive, and I firmly believe that. And what happened was people started questioning the government, started questioning Trump. Trump tried to stop the Syrian refugees. That got blocked. About three or four different things that Trump's done has been blocked. And what was important about the marches to me is the kids and those adults, and we're talking millions of people at these different cities, were saying, we're watching you, and we don't like this, and you work for us.
Yeah.
Now, regardless of what your political beliefs, if you're pro-Trump, you're against Trump, it doesn't matter. The point is, the country, you have a right. You are the boss. We are paying their salaries.
Yes, and the government needs to never forget that they work for us. Right. They are civil servants.
And I think what you're seeing now is a new thing where people are watching them. There's scrutiny on the state level and on the federal level. And I think that's going to happen more. And now the kids are in it. And the kids are watching, and that brought back the feeling at the Vietnam time, because I was a product of the Vietnam War era, and that was what we did. We questioned, like, why are we going there? Why are we getting killed?
Right.
What's the motivation here? And that's what's happening now. And to me, that's a very positive thing, because that's what we should do. We should take control of our government. That's how we do it.
Now, could you have been drafted?
I was the year the draft stopped, and I was in the just like 102 or something like that. So I was, if they hadn't shut it down, I probably would have gone. And I was 1A because at the time I was thinking about going to Annapolis.
Really?
So I had a 1A classification. So I was like prime.
You were going to go to Annapolis Naval Academy?
Yeah, I wanted to go to Annapolis, and then I was going to go to medical school and become a doctor and be a medical doctor in the Navy.
Wow.
And the reason I didn't was
because you're a rock
Richard
star?
Nixon.
Oh, you didn't like Nixon?
Well, I was told by an officer at the time, he said, you have to understand what the military means. The military means that he's your commander-in-chief, and you have to do what he says, whether you like it or not. If you don't, that's treason. And that's true. As an armed forces, he's your chief. He's your boss.
Right.
You got to follow him. And it's a little more serious than just working at a job.
Absolutely.
Because if you do something against that, it's against the country, too. So he said that. And then also, too, anytime you go after your 4 years at Annapolis, I'd have to go to medical school. But every year of medical school, I have to serve 2 years. So by the time I got done with my obligation, I would retire, literally. I just have to work straight through.
Wow.
And then retire. But the main thing was is that I didn't agree with what was going on in Vietnam. And I was just learning the real story. And things were starting to come out about the corruptness and corruption and stuff. And the real motivation of being there and stuff. You know, the big business, you know, DuPont, all that stuff. And I realized I can't do this because I don't believe in him. I believe he's a crook. And I believe that this is all motive. And I studied war and everything, including the Civil War, which talks about civil rights and stuff. And all the wars are basic. Any war that you've seen, the basic tenet of it is you have something I want, so I'm going to beat the hell out of you and take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some excuse like it's because of this.
Yep.
But that's really what it is. Every war, and you look in the history books, you look and do research on every war within the United States, world wars, that's what it is. I want something of yours, and I'm going to forcibly take it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And all of that was, you know, I was in, you know, just start, I was in college, and it's like, you know, of course, that's our big awakening time. And I was, all of this coming in, and I just couldn't, in good conscience, do that. So I dropped the application, but put myself in a very vulnerable spot. So the one thing that Nixon did for me, and I thank him, was that he stopped the draft in 1972, and I'm very grateful for that.
Wow. Wow.
And I remember watching him announce that.
Yeah.
And I was clear.
I could see you being a naval doctor, though. That was the first thing I was going to be, was a doctor.
Well, I mean, my brother ended up being a doctor.
And then I watched Gone with the Wind, and I saw the battlefield amputation scene, and I was like, no, I can't. I can't. I'd never. I'm too empathic. The whole time I would be like, I would. And every time somebody died, I would die. I just can't. I can't. One of my best friends, Suzanne Groff, she's a nurse, and she was on, she's been on the show, and she's been here on this show, and she's great with it. She knows how to shut it off when she has to. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that. I would love to be in the medical profession, and I just don't have that.
Well, I remember my mom took my brother and I, because my brother was pre-med, and I was not in college yet. And she worked at Downey Hospital. She loved working the emergency rooms. In fact, she was an emergency room nurse way until her 80s. And she just loved it. She just had a great time, and she liked the immediacy of it because she had to think on her feet. And so she took us in there, and I remember we were in the back, and in the hallway they were sending bodies to the morgue, and there's all these people with tags on their toes. And we're seeing this. We saw an autopsy, and It was, you know, I was like high school. So, yeah, it's kind of weird watching somebody cut somebody up and pull out these organs and stuff like that. So we weren't nauseous, but, yeah, we weren't feeling that great. And I remember my mom, she comes out, she goes, hey, I'm off now. Let's go. What do you want to do? You want to eat? And the only other, I mean, she would just the other time.
Right, but that's how Suzanne is, too. I remember when Suzanne was doing her nursing rounds, her residency, her internship, whatever you do when you're a nurse, she had to do this every different kind of thing, and she had to spend a time on the children's cancer ward. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know. I couldn't even walk in the building. And she's like, no, I was okay with it. Because that's just, she just has that. Thank God
I mean,
she's German.
My mom, when my dad
nine houses in Virgo.
When my dad was sick and he was at home, my mom showed the caretaker how to properly change the sheets with the person in bed, and that's an art where they roll them
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I saw them do that when my mom was in bed.
And they put the other one in, and my mom showed her how to do it because my mom taught nursing. It was amazing, and she didn't bat an eye. And, you know, people, my dad was, he was okay. He wasn't, like, soiling himself or stuff. But my mom would do that every day. These people just couldn't hold it and make a mess. And didn't bat an eye, just cleaned it up and went, you know, and just that takes a lot. I don't know if I can handle that. I mean, you know, I go outside and clean the poop up for my girls.
I can't even do that. I have
and
a cat box.
That's enough. But, you know, but they would do, you know, they would, she would do stuff like that. And the other one, which has nothing to do with nursing or raising a vibration, I went in and I had, this was when I was younger in grammar school. They took out my eye teeth, the ones like next to the canines.
Oh.
Because I had braces. I had too many teeth. It was crowded and whatever. So they took the teeth out, and I have all this cotton in my mouth, and I literally come out. And my mom's like, so where do you want to go? You hungry? Because that's just like habit.
Right.
I'm like, full of cotton. And she's like, what? What do you want to eat? Tell me what you want. Totally oblivious the fact that I, you know, I'm still bleeding, and it was like, you know, but it was funny. Those are the days. I remember those days. But literally, she's like, what do you want to eat? But when we were in the hospital, my brother, who would eat all the time, he's like, no, Mom, I'm not really hungry. Why? Sure, we'll go get some burgers or whatever it was.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. You can gum a burger down with your... You're fantastic, my friend. Look how fast we blew through that.
Wow.
How about that?
Oh, it's just amazing. It's always fun to be here with you.
It's good. We need to do more one-on-one shows. We don't do enough of this. This is fun.
Yes.
Okay, so where can people find you online? And thank you so much for being on the Vibrational Council. If I haven't said that before, thank you.
Yes, and be prepared. I'm just starting to work on the themes, and I got some ideas.
And the
she
tracks
doesn't
for
even know
CD.
Either yet. She hasn't, yes, for
yeah,
the
and
CD.
And was I right? Is it just called Vibration? Is that right? No, there's a track called Vibration. I think it's called... It's called Raise Your Vibration, right. Or it's called Your Vibration Raise It? I don't know. I feel terrible. I don't remember.
You told me, but...
oh, my God. I don't remember what it's
call
called
it
now.
The Sheena album.
I just call it Our Baby. It's going to be Our Baby. Where can people find you, my friend?
My show, All About Guitars, every Monday night. It's actually opposite Raising the Vibration. So listen to Raising the Vibration and just download the show later.
Or vice versa. It's perfectly okay.
I'm on at 8 o'clock every Monday. And Facebook, there is a Jeff Floro All About Guitar site where you can see what's coming up and stuff. I also have at Jeff Floro for Twitter. There's actually JFlo Guitar for the show. But the reason I'm mentioning that is at Jeff Floro on Instagram, you'll see my girls. I post a lot of pictures of my girls.
Aww.
And take a look at the St. Patty's Day one.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, and then
to see.
Also, too, my personal page.
Onanahan.
The Onanahan and McSnicky.
Oh, my God, that's
and,
great.
And so my personal page is Producer Jeff. And underscore Jeff. And it's you'll see an alien at the console, one of my relatives. But anyway,
nice.
That's another story. But anyway, that one tells all the different shows. And I post the stuff for Rebecca shows and everything on there. And
someday
I'm Jeff Floro at the... you'll see a picture of me in eighth grade playing guitar. That's my avatar.
Nice. It was eighth grade? You already had a mustache.
No, I didn't have a mustache.
Did you have a mustache then?
No, it's just hard to... It's shadow.
Oh, okay.
Shadow and light.
Eighth grade? You look like you were 30 in that picture. Anyway, if you missed those links, of course, raisingthevibrationradio.com, latalkradio.com. I'm at sheenametal.com. We're on social media everywhere. I'm just at sheenametal everywhere on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and a really old Pinterest page you can for your enjoyment. And then... Of course, I am raisingthevibration.com, raisingthevibration.org, that's our upcoming site, and thevibrationnation.com, that's our online community. Till I see you next week on the show, always think of peace. I know sometimes peace seems like something so out of our grasp, but that will never happen. But it's definitely never going to happen unless we learn to envision it. So always be thinking in terms of how can I be more peaceful? How can I live a more peaceful life? And how can I bring more peace to others? And then while you're doing that, always, always and forever live in love. Our lives are so much more beautiful when we live in love. And everything is more possible and more probable if we come from a place of love. And I cannot even stress how important it is that we love each other or how important it is that we're kind to each other. And that's the next thing. You need to lead with kindness. Be kind. It takes nothing to add more kindness into your life. It is the easiest thing, and it makes the most importance in the world. And the last thing I always have to stress with you is unity. We are one human family, my friends, and that doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other about everything, and it doesn't mean that we have to believe the same things or that we have to live the same places or that we have to do the same things in our day. But we all have to remember that every one of us has a right to be here and that we're all here for a reason and that we are here to be together and to be unified and to build each other up and not to tear each other apart. Peace, love, kindness, and unity. That's what I leave you with. And of course, always raise your vibration in any way possible at all times, every single way that you can imagine. Until I see you next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m., I'm your host, Sheena Metal. Thanks for listening. I love you all, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.